RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
Bring the energy!
It's happening.
Run for your lives.
It's time for MP on the mic.
Cunning, capable, agile, flexible.
It gets me pumped and it gets me going.
Michael Phillips is...
Let's go!
MP on the mic.
What a performance in a clutch situation. Game that's been hyped up forever. We were hyping it up yesterday. ESPN was hyping it up yesterday. It can Caitlin Clark beat LSU? And that's kind of it. There wasn't a rest of a team there, just her. And the way she shot from everywhere was insane. She's making 30-foot three-pointers, 28-foot three-pointers, hand in her face at one point. Haley Van Lith was the poor LSU kid assigned to guard her and just throws up her arms. What do you want me to do? She's 30 feet from the basket, and I got a hand in her face, and she made it. What do you want me to do? The answer was nothing. She got hers. Caitlin Clark, 41 and 12. And I thought the assists were just as good as the shooting. The assists were phenomenal. Caitlin Clark dominant, doing what Iowa does. She said after the game, here's Caitlin Clark after leading Iowa to the women's Final Four.
I feel like we prepare for this game. We focus on Iowa. We do what Iowa does, and we'll come out on top. And that was kind of Coach Bluter's message. It's not about last year. You worry too much about the past. You know, you're going to get caught up in that. It's about being present, being where your feet are. Don't worry about being in the Final Four, be in this moment, be in the Elite Eight. You know, enjoy that and soak that in.
It's a moment to enjoy for sure. And look, the rest of the team obviously plays a role, and definitely you don't win without the rest of that Iowa team, and they've assembled some talent around Caitlin Clark. It's just so rare in sports, in a team sport, to see one player dominate a whole game, a whole sport like that, when the whole hype coming into the game is, one player is going to dominate this whole game. It almost never happens, right? The defense finds a way to take that one player away. You end up, you know, she misses some shots, whatever. She delivered on the big stage. Massive stage. Caitlin Clark delivers 41 points, shot it from everywhere, made it from everywhere. I mean, LSU's strategy of, you know, let's contain everybody else, give her hers. It worked for a while. LSU's Angel Reese, you know, that was the hyped up matchup. Angel Reese twists her ankle early in the game. Wasn't quite the same the rest of the way. But for LSU, Kim Mulkey, who's been through a lot this week, she weighed in on Caitlin Clark after the game and said, look, wait, what do you want me to do about that?
What went into the strategy in terms of how you wanted to defend Caitlin Clark? And then also just wondering, you know, it seemed like you had a long embrace and some kind words for after the game and the handshake line. Just wondering if you wanted to share what those were.
Well, there's not a whole lot of strategy. You got to guard her. Nobody else seems to be able to guard her. We didn't even guard her last year when we beat them. She's just a generational player, and she just makes everybody around her better. That's what the great ones do. I think they had a kid that scored 21 and 18. She had 12 assists. Caitlin Clark's not going to beat you by herself. It's what she does to make those other teammates better that helps her score points and them score points to beat you. What did I say to her? I said, I sure am glad you're leaving. I said, girl, you something else. Never seen anything like it.
Kim Mulkey, still a character, even in defeat. Girl, you something. I've never seen anything like you before. She's not the only person who was saying that, shaking their head last night. She was just the only person saying that who was in charge of keeping her from being something else last night. And she took some criticism because she kept Haley Van Lith on her through the end and didn't move Flauge Johnson, her best defender, over. Which, you know, that was the strategy, right? You could tell Caitlin Clark can get hers. Everybody else is going to lock down everybody else. But Caitlin Clark was so good of a passer. I think that was my takeaway from watching her, right? Yeah, everybody knows she's a great shooter. She's Steph Curry of the women's game, whatever. But she was such a good passer. The passes were so good. She basically threw it into her teammates' hands right as they were going up for a layup. And sometimes they made it and sometimes they didn't. She was not getting a lot of help. She was just lasering it straight at, like, here's where the ball needs to be for you to score. I'm going to throw it to that exact spot right now. See what you can do from here. And they did it enough to win, and they get another great matchup coming up in the Final Four. They'll take on UConn in the Final Four, which also won. And we'll dive into LSU later in the show. Very, very emotional night for them, a team that's been filled with drama from the start of the season, and certainly no exception last night. Flauge Johnson, no exception last night, was critical of not being allowed to guard Caitlin Clark in the biggest game of the year. Frustration certainly understandable there. Kim Mulkey had thoughts. Angel Reese had thoughts after the game. We'll dive into all that. But the Final Four is set. UConn will play Iowa. It'll be another most anticipated game of all time, right, when they meet Paige Beckers, and they'll face off for the right to lose to South Carolina and Dawn Staley in the title game. They'll face NC State. Now, I would say we need to re-bracket is what we need to do, because we've got UConn and NC State in both the men's Final Four and the women's Final Four. Good for them. Congrats to them. The men's and women's teams speak for themselves, the dominance there, obviously. The NC State men and women, both surprise teams being there. We need to re-bracket this and put both UConn against NC State in men and women and move it to the same place. Have those games at one site, put the other two games at another site. That way all the UConn and NC State fans can get to the same place and just go wild for a night. And we can just have full-on chaos. Just all the way going the distance. Gino Auriemma for UConn. I mentioned UConn's dominant. You mentioned women's basketball. You can't mention it without talking about UConn and Gino and everything they've done. They were not the one seed. They were not favored to be here, and they only play with six players right now. Half their team is hurt. Half their active roster is freshmen, and yet here we are at this spot again. Gino Auriemma after the game.
There's something about when you reach this particular game and you win this particular game. It may even be more emotional than winning a national championship game sometimes, because you know how hard it was to get here.
You hear that from a lot of college basketball coaches about just the importance of that Elite Eight game, of making it to the Final Four, right? Whether you win the title or not, you got, you know, in an all things even world, you got a 25% chance of winning the championship if you're at the Final Four, right? But just being there validates the season. You get the whole week off between now and the Final Four. You get that long layoff. Everybody gets a chance to celebrate. You know, great season. We made the Final Four. Whatever happens from there happens. But that Elite Eight game defines the program in so many ways. I remember it at Kansas. That's Bill Self's worst game statistically. It is the Elite Eight game because he feels that pressure, right? Of this game is the pinnacle of what we've worked for to make the Final Four. It sounds counterintuitive. It's almost less important to win the title than it is to win that Elite Eight game and make it to the Final Four, because that's what validates your season if you're one of the last four teams. Ask the VCU about that. That Final Four season sure felt like a natty. Sure felt like a championship when they won that Elite Eight game against Kansas. Out on Broad Street, everybody's celebrating. That's as big of a moment as the Final Four. All right, so we'll save Paige Beckers for later then, because that's a long clip. That's all right. We're off and running. It's a Tuesday. We're giving away tickets to the Odyssey Oceanfront show. We're talking about everything going on in the world of sports. We'll dive into the Ted Leonsis interview from yesterday as we get down there. More women's basketball on the other side, though. We'll play the Paige Beckers clip, what she had to say after the game. The drama around LSU continued last night. And I mean, just that is a program that attracts it, that leans into it. Some thoughts on the state of women's basketball. And look, if you're just jumping in last night, you're thinking, boy, the officiating was pretty bad. Yeah, it's always like that. They got some work they need to do. ESPN's got some work they need to do. We'll dive into all that. We'll take your calls, 833-804-0910. We're off and running on a Tuesday morning. This is 910 The Fan at 105.1. 10:46, it's a Tuesday morning. This is MP on the mic. Michael Phillips driving you around on a busy April day in the world of sports. Caitlin Clark puts up 41 last night. We'll get to the arena situation in Northern Virginia in a bit in the next segment, as well as the men's final. For some NFL news, the Washington Commanders sign a backup quarterback. They're up to three. You would anticipate they'll have four at training camp, and we got an NFL draft coming up in a few weeks here, the number two selection. You got to think that's where the final quarterback is coming from. But right now, let's stay in the baseball world, because I really like this. John Belisles, he was on City Council for a while. He's got a Substack now, because podcasts are out. Ever since we started the podcast, everybody's looking for what's next. Uh-oh, MP's got a podcast.
It can't be done any better.
That's it. Too many people are in the podcast pool. What's next? So everybody's got a Substack now.
Oh.
We don't have a Substack.
Yet.
When we do, it won't be cool anymore. That's my promise to you. We'll cannonball into that pool. Everybody'll climb up the ladder and walk out. He's got a great Substack, though. It's called RVA 5x5, and he weighs in on stuff. And what I like is he's smarter than me. About these city issues and these things. And we need that, because we need people keeping an eye on this situation. So the Diamond is going to be replaced. They approved that back in May of 2023, right? So 11 months ago, the city council officially approved the deal for the new Diamond. So this is John Belisles. He says, the deal that was approved about a year ago listed the tasks that the city needs to undertake and complete to keep the project moving forward. Rezoning the Diamond District, creating a development authority, creating design standards, lease agreements with the Flying Squirrels and VCU, and the subdivision of land to create the new district. Of those lists, only two of them, the design and the rezoning the district, have been completed. And yet, the city's chief administrative officer, Lincoln Saunders, told the Times-Dispatch that the city expects workers to break ground on construction in early summer, which seems odd considering no financing plan has been announced, approved, or vetted. Yeah.
Mm.
Uh-oh.
Starting to feel your negativity about this.
I definitely have been putting off negative vibes about that. That's a lot of work to do in a short amount of time. You've got multiple steps that need to be done. They've got a year to do them. And you've got a city that seems uninterested in doing any steps until it's at least past the deadline. They're not even like, hey, look, I was in college once. I taught college kids once. They wait until the deadline. I get that. You had a teacher, Hazel's here. I won't throw individual teachers under the bus, but I know who the teacher is, who makes assignments due at 6 p.m.
Yes.
And I was told, like, that's a strategy because if you make them due at midnight, the students will text you at 11:30 p.m. with the questions.
Yes.
So you make it due at 6 p.m. so you can field the questions in your normal flow of day. Whatever. I'm not commenting on whether that's a good strategy or a bad strategy. I gave the kids until midnight. I just told them I go to sleep at 10. If you have a problem after 10, it's your problem, not my problem at that point.
And that's fair.
I felt it was fair. Sometimes I would wake up to like 3 a.m. texts that weren't urgent. It was just like, I'm doing this. I got a question. And it's like, I live such a different life than you. I can't relate with, I used to be that, but now I can't relate to that in any way. But I got to it when I got to it. They worked ahead. Nobody, all you have to do is work ahead. Nobody complains. The city doesn't even, they're not even deadline workers. They wait until the deadline's over and it becomes a thing. Right? We've seen this in town. The meals tax situation, right? It grows and it grows and people, you know, you hear grumblings and it's not until it's a 5-alarm fire that they all of a sudden, oh, we should put this out.
Hmm.
Oh, we should do something about this. Because it's a 5-alarm fire. The only way this city gets things done is 5-alarm fires. And I don't think, and this is why I like John Belisle's piece here in the Substack at RVA 5x5, the number 5, the letter X, the number 5, is he's pointing out this is a 5-alarm fire right now. Because the stadium will take 18 months to build if everything goes correctly. And I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that in Richmond, Virginia, it won't. Not everything will go correctly here. And it has to open by April 1st, 2026, or Major League Baseball has said they'll take the team away. I see you running the numbers there. That's 24 months from now.
Hmm.
23 months and 30 days from now. Now that it's
is ticking.
It's April 2nd, absolutely. Oh, if the stadium takes 18 months to build, it means we got to get our act together now. You gotta put a shovel in the dirt this summer. And the city is so casual, like, yeah, we'll put a shovel in the dirt this summer. But they're not doing the things that they need to. They need to sell bonds. They need to hire crews. Like, you can't just hire a construction crew. You don't just drive over to Home Depot, grab some guys out of the parking lot and say, let's go build a baseball stadium. There are contracts. There are negotiations. There's public bidding that has to happen. There's, when you sell the bonds, you don't just walk into the UCROPS office and be like, yo, we need some money for a baseball stadium. You have to write out the paperwork and do the things. Here's John Belisle's again. The longer we display a casual regard for MLB's deadlines, the higher the probability that MLB could say enough with the clown car. If they don't have clear evidence that the stadium could be open, and given the woeful state of the 39-year-old diamond, it's unlikely they would have a major problem finding another place to locate our franchise in another city. And so now I'll come in on top of John here, because he knows TIFs and bonds and financing and CDAs. I know baseball. And back 5 years ago, I would have pushed back against that. I said, look, Richmond's a really good market for a Major League Baseball team. And this ownership wants to be in Richmond because they could sell a lot of tickets here. And there aren't a lot of appealing cities of this size that don't have a minor league baseball team. Right? So they're going to do everything they can. But Major League Baseball has taken over control of the minor league teams. The owners don't make those decisions anymore. Major League Baseball now runs this in the interests of servicing its major league ball clubs with players, finding, developing, stashing players for the major league ball club. And when they started this, you may remember this was controversial a couple years ago, they shut down a number of minor league baseball franchises all across America, and a lot of small towns, but a lot of mid-sized towns too. They trim the number of minor league baseball teams. So there are cities that want minor league baseball teams that don't have minor league baseball teams right now. And MLB doesn't care what cities minor league baseball is being played in, as long as they achieve their goals of having good facilities for these players to develop in. So I think he's spot on here. I think if 18 months is the timeline for construction, if no progress has been made this summer, 18 months isn't going to happen. And now you're kicking the can down the road another year. They might be tired of that. And looking at, right, we got a mayoral election coming up this year. They might say, we don't have 2 extra years to wait. We're not opening up a stadium in 2028. Get your act together. Call back. We'll send you a single-A franchise when you're ready. We move them around all the time. And that would be a huge loss to the community. So kudos to John Balazs for elevating this and pointing out this is past deadline. We're not at deadline. We're past deadline. It's time to get things done. It's time to move things. There will be a Flying Squirrels season, though, this year. Things will happen on the field. Trey Wilson will be the official chronicler of those things. You'll hear him nightly here on 910 The Fan 105.1 FM, and we'll debut a new segment with him, some Tuesdays with Trey, talking all things Squirrels, all things baseball. That after this, you're listening Sports to 910 Radio, The Fan, 910 now 105.1 FM.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
It's time for MP on the mic.
Let's go.
Let's go, baby. Woo!
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
At number two, 11 o'clock on a Tuesday, driving you around Richmond, getting you ready for baseball season. It's in the air, folks, and we're excited to have on the voice of the Richmond Flying Squirrels. He'll be joining us on Tuesdays to set the table for the upcoming week each week, and a little bit of a modified week this week, opening night, Friday night, and we're now 1 week away from the home opener. Welcome in, Trey Wilson, Richmond Flying Squirrels. Trey, what is up?
Hey, man, thanks for having me. It's baseball time. It doesn't really feel like it around Richmond today. It's kind of gray, but let's get this weather out of the way this week so we can have some clear skies next week.
I agree. Forecast looking good for Tuesday night, opening night. Always been a sellout. I'm sure it'll be another great crowd this year. But you guys have a little business to tend to up in New Jersey first, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. Closing in on a sellout. So if you're planning on coming out Tuesday, if you want to get out here for the home opener, I would go buy tickets as soon as you can, because I saw the pre-sale numbers earlier this morning, and we are really close to selling that game out. So, we're heading up to New Jersey this weekend, going to see the Yankees AA affiliate. You know, the scheduling's weird. We used to go everywhere every year, but now they have these unbalanced schedules, and we haven't been to Somerset since 2021. So, this is probably the most excited I've ever been to be in New Jersey. It's been a while.
Yeah. With the Yankees affiliate, right? Like, you know, every team's got great minor leaguers, obviously, and the Squirrels have guys on the list, but it does feel like when it's the Yankees, there's a little more juice behind it. Like, everybody knows who these guys are and what they're trying to be.
Yeah, for sure. And Somerset, you know, they're new to our league. They're pretty new. The Yankees affiliation, 2021 was their first year, and they've really leaned into it. The uniforms, they got the pinstripes, they look like the Yankees jerseys. When they come here, they play on the road, they've got the gray with Somerset and that block font like the Yankees have. The last time we were up there, the Yankees had a handful of players on rehab assignments playing with Somerset that were hitting balls 500 feet all week. And that's a ballpark that, like Yankee Stadium, is a really home run friendly ballpark. The pitchers are probably happy we're only doing 3 days up there instead of six, because that's a tough place to pitch.
Man, that was the first thing I said when Big Yankees signed Juan Soto. It was like, man, if Juan Soto could like custom make a ballpark, that's probably the one he'd make would be Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I think most hitters feel that way.
Trey Wilson joins us from the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Opening night 1 week away next Tuesday at the Diamond, 6:35. First pitch against Akron, as he mentioned. Get your tickets now. They're going quickly. When do we get a roster? When do we know who's on the team this year?
Well, I have it in hand right now. Ooh. So I'm going to get off of this phone call. We're going to get together and package a few things together, and then we're going to put it out.
Ooh.
So imminently, I guess, is the answer. I can give you
give me a tease.
Give you, Yeah. Well, I will say this. I love continuity, and we've got most of our staff back from last season as far as the coaching staff goes, and we're going to have a lot of the same players that were here for that that push into the postseason at the end of the season. There are 18 players here who were on the roster last year, so there are a lot of familiar faces and a lot of exciting new players, but there are a lot of guys who've been here before, so we're going to start the year with a pretty heavy group of guys who know what Richmond's all about already, who can kind of set that tone and culture from the beginning of the season. The roster's going to change as the year goes, but at least to start the year, we've got guys who know what this place is all about. They landed last night. They're here right now. They're in the clubhouse, you know, getting their jerseys all straightened out and unpacking their bags into their lockers, and they're going to have their first on-field workout coming up here shortly. So there's a baseball team here, and that's usually a one of the most exciting days of the year because it means we're so close to opening day.
I love it. Was there a guy you saw he was coming back? You did like a little fist pump, like, man, I'm fired up for this guy.
So there were some guys that it's a two-edged sword because, like, well, that's not the right phrase, but you know what I'm saying. It's there are some guys that, like, you just love having them around, but also you want to see them move on to the next level. And I had a conversation with Tyler Fitzgerald out in Scottsdale, Arizona, a few weeks ago, who's in the big leagues now with the Giants, and he came back here to start last season after he won the MVP the year before. And I was like, you know, we were really pumped to have you here, but at the same time, we were like, you know, let's get you on out of here. And he came in and just tore the cover off the ball for a month, and he got on out of here. So there's some guys like that who are going to be on the roster that we're going to announce here shortly that have been here for a while that we love that they're here because we love them being around, but we'd love to see them get on through and play, get up to AAA and get, you know, another step closer to the big leagues. There are some prospects that are really exciting here. I'll go ahead and leak a name.
So here we go.
Since we're putting it out here shortly. So none of this will be a surprise to people that follow the team closely, but like Hayden Birdsong, he was a pitcher who he just blew through three levels of the minor leagues last year. This year in camp, he's been running his fastball up to close to 100 miles an hour as a starting pitcher. He's very young. He's 22 or 23 years old. He was a really overlooked guy who's now propelled himself into being a top 10 prospect. And he had some ups and downs in that double-A adjustment level late in the season last year, but he's a guy that I think people are really excited about who's on the roster that we're going to be announcing here shortly. He'll be the top-ranked prospect that we have. And then a newcomer, Grant McCray, is another one that people are going to be really excited about. He's a base stealer. He's fast. He's the next top-ranked prospect that we've got. He was in Eugene last season. He steals a ton of bases. And that's an exciting part of the game. It's something that people enjoy. They love the speed part of the game. So there hasn't been a ton of that here over the last few years, so it'll be exciting to have him as well.
I love it. That coming back to the major leagues, too, with the pitch clock and the bigger bases. See a little more speed. I grew up with Ricky Henderson. I love a good stolen base as we bring in Trey Wilson on Tuesday to get us apprised of all things Flying Squirrels. And speaking of names people will recognize, we'll have one in the house next Tuesday for opening night. Joe Panik coming out to throw the first pitch.
Yeah, we're all excited to have him back. You know, he retired so young, it's hard to believe that Joe Panik's been retired for like 3 years.
That stunned me.
Yeah, you know, he had a great career. He's a World Series hero, and he retired at like in his early-ish 30s. You know, he's been working with the Giants the last couple of years. He comes into town, but this will be a cool opportunity for us to honor and recognize him. You know, we're just now getting to the point, Michael, where we actually have players who have had great careers who are now retiring, like great major league careers. Other teams lean into this all the time, but the Flying Squirrels are still so new. You know, it's only been about a decade and a half. So we're finally getting to where there have been some major league stars who are now retired that we can bring back. So this is the first time we've been able to do this, where we'll be able to have a former Squirrel who went on to have a good major league career and then bring them back and recognize them like this. So hopefully there'll be more of that in the years to come, but we're pretty excited to have Joe back in town this coming week.
Get your tickets now through the Flying Squirrels opening night. They're going fast next Tuesday night at the Diamond, 6:35. first pitch. Trey, let's go off the baseball field for a second here. You were with Longwood Basketball a lot this year. How fun was that ride at the end of the year? And I caught us off guard. I know obviously you never take things for granted, but what an exciting run that was for Longwood all the way into the NCAA tournament.
You know, we talked about it all season that team, there were nine teams in the Big South that we thought you wouldn't be super shocked if they won the tournament and advanced to the NCAA tournament. There was so much parity in the league this year. High Point was the clear best team. UNC Asheville was the clear second best team. And then, like, 3 through 9, you pretty much could have made a case for anybody. And then, of course, when you get to the tournament, you know, things go crazy. So it wasn't a huge shock that they went on that run that they did. It was crazy how it worked out. You know, going into the last day of the regular season, if they win that game against the number one team in High Point, they're the number 5 seed. If they lose, they're the last seed. There was such a big separation there in possibilities, and they end up winning that game, carrying that momentum into the conference tournament, and then making a run into the NCAA tournament for the second time in program history, second time in the last 3 years. It was a lot different than 2 years ago when they had a target on their backs all season. I think that made it a little bit more special this year was that even though they had never been a couple of years ago, there was an expectation that they were supposed to be the team to go that year. This time, they were a little bit more of an underdog. They were picked 5th in the league in the preseason poll this year. So I think that made it a little bit more special for Griff Aldridge and his group. Again, it wasn't a huge surprise, but you kept thinking all year with that team, they're going to figure it out eventually. They played too well early in the year. They got to get back to that. If they can figure that out, they got the timing right, and they got to dance.
There you go. It's everybody loves the Cinderella story, and Griff Aldridge's crew certainly fit the bill. Trey Wilson will be joining us every Tuesday to talk all things Flying Squirrels as we set the slate for the week ahead. Next week, a particularly notable appearance as we get ready for opening night at the Diamond. Next Tuesday, 6:35. Trey, I'm looking forward to it.
Can't wait. Appreciate you having me. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good. There he goes. Richmond Flying Squirrels baseball, of course, will be on 910 The Fan, 105.1 all season long. All right, I want to get into these comments by Ted Leonsis on the Northern Virginia arena deal. Not panning out. We'll play those. We'll dive back into women's hoops as well after a great night for the sport. Caitlin Clark going off for 41 and some big drama, big emotions post game from the LSU side as well. We'll do all that. We'll crosstalk with AWOD and folks. We will take a victory lap on behalf of the South side in the AWOD Busty Burger bracket. All that ahead. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
/11:17, driving here in Richmond on a Tuesday morning. MP on the mic. We're live. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. And of course, it's 5 hours of live and local right here in Richmond, Virginia every day. AWOD Radio takes over from noon to 3 right after this program. Should we do LSU or Ted Leonsis? Let's do LSU first because everybody's talking women's basketball today. I mean, this is the day. Yesterday was the games. This is the day. And look, I don't care what shenanigans it took to make that happen, where miraculously you had on the one night the men don't play a doubleheader with the 4 best personalities in the entire sport. Whatever. Good on ESPN. Good on the NCAA. Take that energy and use it to get good officials. Take that energy, use it to paint the 3-point lines properly. Somebody knows what they're doing here. Put that person in charge of what's going on here. LSU, of course, that team lived for the dramatic all season long. Angel Reese got kicked off the team for a couple. She was suspended by Coach Kim Mulkey early in the season. She came back. Kim Mulkey had the Washington Post article about her. That was a team that lived for the drama. Last night after the game, Lost to Iowa in the title game rematch. Here's Flaje Johnson defending Angel Reese and everything she's been through.
Oh, just to see how the media ridicule her, went through our problems, but like, this is my sister right here, and I'm so proud of her. Like, the media, y'all, how they like to twist and call her the villain and all of that, y'all don't know Angel, bro. And I'm just happy that I get to play with her. I get to be around her presence. Her energy is different. Like, she just make me a better player. She make me a better player, and that's what great players do.
And I don't think I get where Caitlin Clark is like America's sweetheart right now. That those are people who don't watch women's basketball, though. Like, Caitlin Clark's friggin' intense. And when she goes against Paige Beckers on Friday night, Paige Beckers is far more of what people think Caitlin Clark is than what Caitlin Clark actually is. What Caitlin Clark is, a stone-cold assassin from three-point range. Showed that last night, 41 points. Best passer I've seen, men's or women's, in a long time. Those full-court passes right into her teammates' hands. She's really good at basketball. She's not the good guy against Angel Reese, the bad guy in this situation. We got cheated a little bit out of what we wanted to see. Angel Reese twisted her ankle there in the first half last night, and in I think it was the second quarter, and it wasn't quite the same after that. Then you had the bad officiating reared its head. They tossed her out with her fifth foul, about a minute and a half to go in the game. It was over at that point, but I'd still like to see the best players stay on the court to the end of the game, particularly when they don't commit fouls. That's just me. That's just me, sports fan here. We go to the monitor for everything all the time, and then nothing there. Like, Iowa girl gets nicked on the ear, and we're 3 minutes at the monitor breaking it down. Angel Reese fouls out of the most important women's basketball game in years, and I guess there's nothing we can do about that. She can just enjoy her time on the bench the rest of the way. That's all. That's all. The drama continued after the game, though. Flaje Johnson, who you heard from, she was not put on Caitlin Clark to guard her, and she was moved there in the fourth quarter. She said after the game, quote, "When I guarded her, she didn't score. I kind of wish I would have guarded her more. I guess I'll see her in the pros," or something like that. That's a Kim Mulkey team, right? They live in the drama, and it worked for them. They won the Natty last year. Like, you can't say it's not working, but that's a whole dysfunctional family unit right there, and that's a lot, and it stacks up and it becomes a lot. And Angel Reese, man, it's all coming fast for her now. So the rules are she's got 2 days to figure out if she's going to the WNBA draft or if she's coming back for another year of college. Now, Caitlin Clark's already said she hasn't hit her deadline yet because her season's not over. She's already said she's out. She's going to the WNBA. Should be the first overall pick. Angel Reese has to make that call. She only gets 2 days, and that's a brutal time frame to work with. Both figuring out what the injury is, because obviously WNBA's playing right now, she goes there, whether she wants to come back, what NIL money could be on the table, what team dynamics could exist at LSU next year, a place where there's certainly no shortage of that SEC money. There's a lot going through her mind, and she was pretty emotional after the game last night and unguarded, talking about what the last season has been like for her.
And I just try to stand strong. Like, I've been through so much. I've seen so much. I've been attacked so many times. Death threats. I've been sexualized. I've been threatened. I've been so many things, and I've stood strong every single time. And I just try to stand strong for my teammates because I don't want them to see me down and, like, not be there for them. So I just want them to always just know, like, I'm still a human, like, all this has happened since I won the national championship, and I said the other day I haven't had peace since then, and it sucks. But I still wouldn't change. I wouldn't change anything, and I would still sit here and say, like, I'm unapologetically me. I'm gonna always leave that mark and be who I am and stand on that. And hopefully the little girls that look up to me, and hopefully I give them some type of inspiration that, you know, hopefully it's not this hard and all the things that come at you, but keep being who you are. Keep waking up every day. Keep being motivated, staying who you are, staying 10 toes, don't back down, and just be confident.
I think this also represents an overall changing of the guard in women's basketball. Because you look, Kim Mulkey is decidedly old school as a coach, right? Everybody sees that. Geno's old school as a coach, and he's got UConn back there. But in men's basketball, that old guard has kind of filtered itself out over the last few years. Coach K, Roy Williams, that crew, Jim Boeheim, they've seen the modern athlete, and it's different for the modern athlete, right? The modern athlete has Instagram and NIL and all these things. It's a different world for Angel Reese than it's been, right? She's making, if she comes back next year to LSU, I don't think it's an exaggeration to suggest she could make millions of dollars playing women's college basketball. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say she has influence through social media over millions of people every day. And you wonder if those old coaching styles just aren't going to work in this new world, right? Gino at UConn has been very unapologetic about that. Like, we're going to coach them hard. We're going to drill sergeant do that. Kim Mulkey's the same at LSU, right? And you see the toll that takes and everything they have to deal with that the previous generations haven't had to deal with and that the coaches, to a large extent, can't empathize with at all. And that's not to say they're not great basketball coaches, because I think whatever you think about Kim Mulkey, she's undeniably a great basketball coach. She's won natties. Whatever you think about Chino Auriemma, he's been to 23 women's Final Fours, just an astounding number. But you're going to see, right, and Dawn Staley's in the new guard, and you're seeing a lot of coaches. Tennessee fired their coach yesterday. They're going back. They're reloading. That coaches now have to engage with the players in a very different way than they had to engage with the players previously. They have to accommodate for, in a lot of ways, these are pro athletes now at 19, 20, 21 years old. The money they're making, the influence they have. Every other commercial last night had Caitlin Clark in it. And that's not a normal thing that these coaches have had to deal with in the past. They're of the mindset, right? They're in charge. They're going to run their practices. They're going to operate with a heavy hand, the iron fist, whatever you want to call it. They're going to have to adjust too. And you see this new generation coming in and demanding more and needing more. And I'll be curious, right, what Angel Reese decides about coming back, or will undoubtedly have opportunities to go to other programs as well and to try to be, you know, the leader somewhere else. You see it in the NFL, right? Your Tom Brady's, Aaron Rodgers's, when they're not calling the shots, they're ready to move on. And that's going to filter down to college sports with the amount of money involved. And I think in the next few years, you're going to start to have players being paid more than coaches, which sounds scandalous at first listen, but that's what the NFL is. That's what Major League Baseball is. I mean, that's what the NBA's been forever. And the players make more than the coaches. The dynamic is different, and the leadership dynamics become different too, and that's something they'll have to be adjusted to across the board. The other women's basketball note, before we slide out of that topic, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, Georgia Amor entered the portal instead of declaring for the WNBA draft. So her deadline hit yesterday. She did not declare for the WNBA draft. She's in the portal. She can come back to Virginia Tech, and obviously we've seen a lot of, I'm in the portal to explore my options. I wouldn't be even a little bit surprised if she joins Kenny Brooks, obviously, at Kentucky next year. I continue to be surprised by the animosity around the Kenny Brooks departure, who undoubtedly did great things for the Virginia Tech program. But on the way out, you have not seen a lot of warm fuzzies either way. He has not given a lot of warm fuzzies towards his time in Blacksburg or the administration there. And the administration has given very token thank you for your services on the way out. You wonder if there's, you know, they were caught off guard or felt that they weren't going to lose him to this opening or whatever it was. I certainly think he's done all he could have done in Blacksburg, and I understand the appeal of the SEC and everything going on there. But I've been surprised by how wild the response has been. And if you want to weigh in on any of that, lines are open, 833-804-0910. We got another half hour with you before we turn it over to AWOD Radio. When we come back, Ted Leonsis has big plans for the future of Capital One Arena. We'll tell you what they are and why they don't involve cheap tickets. That on the other side of this, you're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This is MP on the mic.
on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
Tuesday morning, 11:32. We got another half hour before we take it over to AWOD Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, grab the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. You know all this by now. If you hit the rewind button and you hear us giving away tickets to the Odyssey Oceanfront concert, don't call in. They've been given away. They're spoken for. But we'll have another pair tomorrow, another pair Thursday, and another pair on Friday, the Odyssey Oceanfront concert. Everybody around here getting very excited about that. Virginia Beach is the place to be. End of the month, April 26th through 28th. Juicy J, your Saturday night headliner at the Odyssey Oceanfront concert, the AOC. If only that acronym hadn't been taken already. It's all I can think of. It's all I can think of every time. It's the AOC. Like, what's she doing here? No. It's the Odyssey Oceanfront concert.
Right.
All right. Uh-huh. One is a representative or
representative
from New York. The other is a hip hop concert on the shores of Virginia Beach. You could see why
there's a lot of confusion.
You could see. I think AOC would enjoy the AOC. I would go out.
I think so.
She's young. She's cool. I have never heard of half of these artists. I'm gonna level. I'm just gonna level with you. I've never heard of half of these artists. It will be a ton of fun, but I think the AOC probably has heard of all the artists.
She should call in.
She's cool. If she's the first caller when we make the call, she can have the tickets. Otherwise, she can buy them like everybody else. These are the rules. All right. We've done a lot of women's hoops today. We've been in the trees, but not the forest. Like, because the forest to me is like, holy crap, what a night. Holy crap, what a night that was for women's basketball, for Caitlin Clark to have that kind of display of dominance on the big stage with all of America watching. The sport's only going to get hotter from here. Things are only going to get bigger from here. My second forest takeaway, by the way, here, big picture, is just zoom out to 1,000 miles. You need to be, if you're a college, you need to be investing big time in your women's basketball program because there's still value there. You know, that there's Kenny Brooks is going to make about $2 million next year, something in that ballpark, I think. I haven't seen the official numbers yet. That's value compared to a football coach or a men's basketball coach. And you can get a lot of value for that right now. Other big picture, maybe this is in the trees. They got to do something about the officiating. It's so bad. The NCAA has just embarrassed itself at every turn and proven itself wildly incapable of holding on to its mantle as the protector of amateur sports and college sports and whatever's going on here. All right, I promised Ted Leonsis, running out of time to deliver Ted Leonsis, so let's deliver Ted Leonsis. We'll get to his squabbling with Virginia if we have time. These are both long clips. He was on the Front Office Sports podcast yesterday talking about everything that went down in Alexandria, everything's going down. So I want to start in reverse chronological order here. This is what's new. What's new is D.C. City Council vote today, $515 million to renovate Capital One Arena. And Ted Leonsis has some big plans for Capital One Arena, and I think they dovetail with what's going on in the rest of the world, sports world, regarding suites, premium ticketing, and I think his observations about live sports and trends at live sports are spot on. So let's play the clip.
Then on the main bowl, we're very intent on better sight lines and trying to reaffirm the bowl structure so that there's more downstairs than upstairs. You know, 20 sure. years ago, the overall feeling was smaller downstairs, bigger upstairs, and price it that way. And when you go to many arenas, you'll see a lot of the seats that are unsold are upstairs, the cheapest tickets. Mm-hmm. And you know, through our data analysis, through our focus grouping, you know, a lot of families would say, I'll buy a great television, I'll watch games at home, I'll stream them, and I'll come to 4 or 5 games and sit downstairs and pay the freight to be close to the action. And so just about every arena is looking at how do you make more inventory and services closer to the action, more suites, more bunker suites, more personalized suites. And
that was a lot of him using the word suite. That was also a really long-winded way of saying we're going to make things more expensive. But I don't think his logic is wrong. The days of a person owning season tickets are largely over, and we've saw that the Redskins went through that cycle, right? Where it used to be a lot of people here owned season tickets and went to, committed to the 8 games a year. And you see less and less of that now. It's, I'm going to go to a game, I'm going to buy it on StubHub, or I'm going to buy it from the team. But when I go, I want to have a nice time, right? There's not that expectation. You think about a Capitals or a Wizards season ticket, 42 games and 41 home games. If you go 41 times, I don't know anybody who wants 41 luxury experiences, right? And you know, with the boozing and the food and all the things. You're going for sports because you love sports and the environment and the atmosphere. And I love what the Clippers are doing at their new arena in LA, where they have tickets that are, it's a guaranteed $15 a game, but you got to commit to the whole season and it's got to be you, and they check your ID at the door. I like that a lot, because I think atmosphere matters way more than people realize. I think you have to help people get out of their own way on this one. Ted Leonsis is just spot on correct about the trend. People want luxury experiences. They only want to go to a few games a year, but they want to make them count, right? In the world of travel, same thing, right? People are going on fewer trips, but they're going on nicer trips. Same thing in sports, right? When people get here, we want to show them a really good time because they're only doing it a couple times a year. It's very special to them. And we're going to charge them a lot of money for that accordingly. I get that. What people actually want, I've always believed, is a really fun, raucous atmosphere and some good sports. And the suite environment does not produce that. It does not produce a stadium where there's a ton of energy and juice and people are yelling and screaming and hanging on every basket. If you have the suite with the dining area and the food, you're going to miss a lot of the game. I've been in those boxes. I've been in these environments. You miss a, you go, there's a commercial, you leave, you go grab food, grab some chicken nuggets, grab a beer, talk to somebody, and then you come back, you've missed 5 or 6 minutes of the game. People think they want that. They don't want that. People don't actually want that. What they actually want is a small packed venue that goes nuts for sports. And have the neighborhood around it, right? That's what made, you know, MCI Center so popular when it opened. You can go have a great dinner, walk across the street, go to the game, go back out, have a beer later. Now, you've identified the problem with this from Ted Leonsis' perspective. He doesn't own any of those places. That's not his money that he's making. He'd rather have it all under one roof. Get to the stadium early, eat at the stadium, stay at the stadium late, have a premium area where you can sit on couches and watch the West Coast games. That's not, people think they want that, and people are impressed when they get that. I don't think people actually want that, though. All right, let's not play Ted Leonsis clip number two, but I'll tell you what he said. He was talking about Virginia, and he was very disappointed, and some of these clips have been making the rounds. He was very disappointed that the Virginia deal didn't get across the finish line. And I think two things happened here. One was his guy, Glenn Youngkin, governor of Virginia, told him, I got this from here. Struck a deal and said, I got this from here, and did not have it. And I'll make this Northern Virginia against the world here. Glenn Youngkin, Northern Virginia guy, Ted Leonsis, Northern Virginia guy. They thought they were good because they were good in Northern Virginia, and they forgot that there's a whole rest of the state. And the state still runs out of Richmond. And those things matter to the people of Richmond, that to the lawmakers in Richmond, to Luis Lucas, the lawmakers from Hampton Roads, that they are engaged with and things aren't shoved down their throats. If Northern Virginia lobbyists come down and say, here's the deal, everybody vote for it, it doesn't, is not going to go well. You're shoving it down their throats. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to deal with it because it doesn't feel like a state initiative. It's a Northern Virginia initiative. You want that? Go secede, make it happen on your own, right? I shouldn't say that out loud because there are lots. Everybody wants to secede these days. Everybody wants to carve off their state into tiny states. We're a team. You got to play as a team. I don't think this thing was doomed from the start, but looking back, Ted Leonsis is unhappy. His guy, Glenn Youngkin, told him, I'm going to get this done, and then didn't get it done. So he's disappointed in that. I understand why he's disappointed in that. I also understand that we got three branches of government for a reason. One of them doesn't just get to say what he wants and then make it happen. Those are not the rules of government. The other thing is, and I'll just do a quick minute on this here. Big picture. Speaking big picture here. There is a pushback against spending public money on sports stadiums. And today is a very interesting day for that. Because today, the voters of Kansas City, Missouri, are going to the polls to authorize a new tax that'll raise $1 billion or so to build a new stadium for the Kansas City Royals and renovate the Kansas City Chiefs stadium. This should be the slam dunk of all slam dunks. Patrick Mahomes is doing the commercials for this. He's a hero there. The Chiefs won the Super Bowl back to back. They're enjoying immense value. And it's Kansas City. It's not a like, we're too big for our britches city, right? It's a like, they live and die with these teams. These teams are part of the civic identity. The polls are showing this is 50-50. And if this can't get done in a market like that at a time like this, I think we're nearing support for a national moratorium on tax money on stadiums, or at least a scenario where these things aren't ever going to be able to be voted on again because they're always going to get voted down. You know, you think about Las Vegas, which is a wildly unpopular baseball stadium deal. Nobody voted on that. They just shoved it through. That's the only way these are getting done now. I'll be curious. We'll talk about the Kansas City vote more tomorrow. Right now, we got to slide out so we can crosstalk with our guy, AWOD. We got one segment left, top of the hour coming. AWOD Radio takes over at noon. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
Five minutes left of MP on the mic. We'll hand things over to AWOD Radio at noon. He'll take you live until Grant and Danny drive you home. This is 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. All right, I left one thing off the board in our women's basketball discussion. Rebecca Lobo giving Albany an absolute stray last night with a few minutes left. She's talking about they were talking about the regional in Albany, and she goes, good luck finding something to do in Albany. Let's add that to the list, by the way, that the NCAA finally gets the women's tournament right, like has like this big event, paints the three-point line wrong, and then has their biggest game of the year, Iowa LSU, in Albany, New York. They had the men's tournament a couple of years ago. VCU was there a couple of years ago. Tim Perrell was our guy at the newspaper who covered that. The media hotel, he had like a... there was like a leak, and he was in the top floor, but there's like a leak in the ceiling.
Okay.
And he woke up to his pillow being wet in Albany, New York. Nobody, like, you get so excited about the tournament. It's the thing to do. It's the place to be. And then you go out there and you're in Albany, New York, and you're not even like the Iowa and LSU fans. That's a brutal place to get to on short note. You can't drive to Albany, New York.
No.
What are we doing here? Build an arena in Henrico. Let's do this thing in Richmond. We could host a better tournament than Albany, New York. I'm going to say that. If you missed my take on the diamond and where we stand and what former city council member John Beliles wrote about it earlier this week, please download the Odyssey app. It's got the rewind button. We took that on at 10:45 this morning, and I don't think people realize how much of a crunch time we're in and how unresponsive the city has been to that crunch time, because we are. It's 18 months to build a stadium is a thing they say. That's if everything goes right. And everything's not going to go right, because more competent cities than Richmond have built stadiums that have gone off the rails and missed by more. If this thing's going to open for the 2026 season, that's, in a best-case scenario, 6 months for them to get their act together and start shoveling and digging. And they're not close. They haven't issued bonds. They haven't hired somebody to do it. All these things take time, and all these things take approval, as they should. You shouldn't just be allowed to go hire whoever you want and have them build the stadium the next day. You know, you shouldn't just go to the bank and get a loan. These are long-term projects, and they take a lot of time, and they take a lot of energy. The other tax thing on Monumental, because we mentioned that in the last segment, part of their deal with DC is if DC passes a tax that benefits any other professional sports team, Monumental doesn't have to pay it, which is clearly a shot at the Commanders and Nationals. And Ted Leonsis has been in his feelings this whole time. He's in his feelings about Virginia right now, but he's still totally in his feelings about DC. He's still totally his feelings about that. He thinks DC likes the Nats and likes the Commanders more than they like his team. I think he's right about the Commanders. I think everything in Muriel Bowser's mayoral run has been, how do I get the Commanders here to RFK? Way more so than, how do I keep the Washington Wizards and the Washington Capitals happy? But you heard during the Junkies, Caps in a big stretch here. 4 games in 6 days, starting tonight in Buffalo. Some winnable games, but anytime you play 4 in 6 days, there's the risk as well that things go off the tracks. All right, Adam Epstein here, AWOD Radio.
Hey-o.
For crosstalk, I'm sure doing a lot of talking.
I was doing a lot of listening. I feel like I'm a really good listener.
Yeah. You've been fully texting generation your whole life.
Yeah.
You've never lived in a world where you call your friends and talk to them.
I did.
Okay.
We would go, I would have my friend Matt's landline number memorized, 703-690, blah, blah, blah. And I'd call him, and I was always scared if his dad picked up. If his dad picked up, sometimes I would hang up right away. I mean, I was too scared. Is Matt available? I was always scared of his dad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you ever have a girlfriend like you had long phone conversations with?
No.
Okay, because that was the thing. Now, back in the day, the cell phone, it was free after 9.
Yeah.
The minutes were free after 9.
Oh, believe me. One of my first girlfriends ever, my dad got a bill. It said, why have you been texting 168 times a day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we had the 901 phone call. That was the big phone call, right? Because
uh-huh.
It's free and you're good from there on. You make it last however long you want. The thing is, I'm a decent listener. I'm not a great listener. You're great. Kudos to you for being great. I'm not a great listener.
Okay.
That's been an obstacle for me my whole life. Because I think girls enjoy a 2 hour long let's share our feelings phone call. I don't know if they still do or not. They did back in the day.
I didn't see Professor Phillips on girlfriend advice coming out.
I struggle with that.
Okay.
I struggle with the deep, intense listening. That's not my specialty.
I'm a pretty good listener, and I will just sit back and not say much and just absorb all the information.
But you are absorbed. Because yeah. I can sit back and not say much and nod, but then after a couple of minutes in the back of my head, I'm like, you know, like the monkey with the cymbals is playing back there. And
oh, really?
We got the little fireworks show, you know, it's in your face fireworks.
See,
at the Diamond.
I can kind of play a game in my mind while I'm absorbing information.
That you're a multitasker.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a multitasker.
I can do 2 tasks very well. I cannot do 3. And my friends always call me out on that. Like if I'm talking to someone,
nobody
texting,
can do 3.
I can't walk at the same
no,
time.
No, 3 is ridiculous.
I will stop in my tracks and be like, oh, hold on. I got to respond to this text.
I'm perceived to be a good multitasker, and what I actually am, I am good at doing things quickly.
No.
If I take on 2 tasks, I can do them in the time of 1 task, but it's just, there's like a gear, we're like shifting back and forth.
Uh-huh.
I'm all in on 1 of the 2, but I'm getting them both done in the amount of time it takes 1. So I'm just plowing ahead. Yeah, I'm driving on both lanes of the road here.
I like that. You know how I actually know that I am a good listener, though? Is that I can listen to podcasts at 2.0 speed.
Ooh. By the way, that Ted Leonsis clip, we got to get Ted to 2.0 speed.
Oh, yeah.
Ted's a little rough for the radio business.
He certainly is.
We had time to play the whole bracket buster sounder between his
The crazy
his
thing about Ted is that everybody says that he's such a brilliant man, and I just don't see it. I'm sorry.
I've gone deep on this. Ted, AOL. AOL yeah. made $1 billion, all that. But it's one of these things, it's like Silicon Valley. Like Hewlett-Packard and Steve Jobs and Wozniak and Sergey Brin and all these Google people. Like, they all came from the same place at the same time. What are the odds that the distribution of genius people in America was limited to that city at that time? Or was it that they had access to the infrastructure, access to computers, and they made it happen?
Yeah.
That's what I've got. Like, if Richmond had the first computers, maybe we're Silicon Valley now. Like, so much of it is luck and time and space. He had AOL when AOL mattered. Good for him. He's very rich. He's richer than me. I'll spend $27 on his stupid hamburgers. AWOD Radio up next. This is 910 The Fan, at 105.1 AM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.